Hello and welcome back to Coffee with Conservationists, the podcast where I sit down with people who dedicate their lives to researching, protecting and documenting nature. I talk to them about issues affecting wildlife, the climate and global biodiversity. We cover diverse topics within ecology, biology, storytelling, activism and much more. My coffee feature today is actually not a coffee, but a delicious drinking chocolate from the local company that you're about to hear all about. In today's slightly shorter bonus episode, I speak to Will Ritson. Will is the Marketing and Business Development Coordinator at local Cornish chocolate company Chocolada. We talk about how they make their chocolate as sustainable and ethical as possible, touching on subjects including deforestation, sail-shipped indigenous-grown chocolate, and their impact on the local community. This was an outdoor episode in a lovely woodlands just around the corner from their factory, so there is a little bit of wind noise here and there, but hopefully it doesn't impact too much on your listening experience. Hi, Will.
Hi, George.
Thank you for coming back on the podcast. We have done this exact thing before in a different location, and it was, listening back and trying to edit the sounds of coffee steamers and talking mums was slightly...
It's a challenge.
Yeah, slightly challenging to edit out. Unfortunately, so hopefully we're in a nice peaceful woodlands. As I just mentioned, the wind noise could pick up a little bit here and there, but hopefully not too much, and hopefully it will just give listeners a bit of a sense of ambiance as well, which is nice. Or it will just annoy them, either or. We can go either way, really. So we're here to talk about chocolate. Specifically drinking chocolate, but we can get onto that later. Because I started the podcast with the niche of drinking coffee and talking about coffee, and then realised that there's the wind noise again. It is just like a white noise machine in my ears. It's quite nice. And then I realised that a large proportion of my guests and my listeners actually didn't drink coffee. They drank tea or hot chocolate. And two industries which you've worked in. And so I wanted to talk about hot chocolate because it's kind of the other hot beverage that a lot of people go for. The alternative to coffee that a lot of my guests choose. Most of them don't know, so I always ask, how do you take your coffee, and talk about coffee a bit at the end. Most of them don't know I'm going to ask that, and most of them kind of don't tell me that they don't drink coffee before, so it's always quite fun, because I always have a coffee in mind that I'm going to feature on the podcast, and then I have to backtrack and go, actually, still going to feature it, but they don't drink it, so, whoops. So hopefully, I'm hoping you do drink, you obviously drink coffee, I'm hoping you drink hot chocolate as well. Because otherwise this could be quite awkward. So where did you get your start in the chocolate industry?
I got my start a few months ago. So like you mentioned, I've worked in tea before. I've kind of been in the food and beverage industry for a few years now. And it kind of happened quite luckily, fortuitously for me, because my wife and I moved down to Falmouth 3 years ago. And the minute I moved down, I realised that there was a fantastic bean-to-bar chocolate baker here, and I kind of pestered them until I managed to get a job. So I was lucky enough to start working at Chocolada, and kind of fell into it from there, really. And there's a lot that translates from the world of tea and probably the world of coffee as well, in terms of geography and manufacture and processing, that you learn in tea that also is quite fundamental in chocolate as well. So there was a lot of crossover knowledge that I already had. And yeah, it's a very fun industry to work in because you're working with chocolate, which is delicious.
Why did you choose Chocolada? What kind of appealed to them, to you?
I love the fact that it's local. I really love the fact that they're, Falmouth based. They're doing something super cool. That you won't find in many places. They're taking on like a huge industry and doing it in a way that's ethical and sustainable. And they make a really amazing chocolate and a range of chocolates, and I just thought that was so special. And then getting to meet the team and kind of getting to know everyone, even before I worked there, they just all seemed so cool and friendly and passionate about what they do that it, yeah, I just feel really lucky to kind of have fallen into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's niche and its hook as a company is super, super ethical. Mm. Bean to Bar Chocolate Company. How do you ensure an ethical supply chain? Whenever I talk about coffee, I kind of have like signifiers that I look for when I'm choosing a coffee and how I source it to select it to feature on the podcast. And obviously I make sure that all the people I work with, or if I'm gifted any coffee or anything, I always make sure they're super ethical and sustainable. How, obviously, chocolate, I'm assuming, is a very similar line of sourcing.
Yeah, I mean, and similar line of issues, really, in the industry as a whole. Mm. So, obviously, a big one that's been in the press in the last few years is deforestation from cocoa, child slavery, and all of these things, obviously, as an industry, are horrible, but also completely avoidable. If you go direct to the people that are growing the beans and pay them the price that they're asking for. So that's really how we do it, instead of, you know, sourcing from gigantic, huge, you know, plantations that have taken over the whole of West Africa. We will go to smaller, more independent cooperatives or organizations. Perhaps there's a person that sources beans locally from a lot of small producers in one area, and we'll go to them and ask them for some beans. But essentially the point is that it's much more small scale. We're able to go in and audit properly and understand what the real issues are, and kind of have people on the ground that we can speak to. So to put it in real simple context, it's much more of a kind of one-to-one, person-to-person, rather than just like, we'll just take any cocoa beans from anywhere and turn them into chocolate. For us, it's much more important to understand the real, what's happening on the ground, how the cacao trees are being grown, and in what kind of soil even, you know, all of that kind of stuff really excites us. So you can only do that if you go direct.
Yeah, amazing. I think that's, yeah, incredibly important. I'm also just aware that I'm going to have to get a windshield at some point, because this is holding my hands around the mic and fending off wasps is getting a little tiring at the same time.
You thought forest would be more relaxed.
One would think. But yeah, really similar issues to the coffee industry in terms of sourcing. I think... what was it? I'm going to mispronounce them now. One thing that really stood out to me when I popped into the shop earlier was seeing your sail-shipped coffee.
Yeah.
From the Arawaku community in the Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, in Colombia.
Which is, yeah, really interesting. I've got a friend of a friend, so not someone I know personally, but a close friend of a close friend who is from that community. And I've been lucky enough to learn a lot from her and her work over the years. Can you tell me more about that kind of chocolate specifically as an example of how you do things in the most ethical way possible? Because that is, you know, that's probably your most ethical chocolate sourced in the indigenous community. It's shipped zero carbon.
Zero carbon, yeah. Which is incredible, really. I mean, that, I think, was just something that popped up a few years ago, so before my time at Chocolada, but still really exciting. We had the opportunity to sail ship some beans, and obviously getting cocoa beans from where they're produced and fermented down to a boat that's in a harbour somewhere was a bit of a mission, as I understand it. But we got a very small amount onto a sail ship from Sierra Nevada in Colombia, and along with a load of other produce such as coffee beans and a bunch of other stuff, that a boat called the Gallant was collecting from around the world. So there's a company that does this in Falmouth, and they kind of sell ship produce from other origins back to UK for a kind of carbon zero supply chain. And so we were lucky enough to do that, and the beans arrived. And originally there were two bars. There was a dark chocolate version and a milk chocolate version. And we're now on the very final few bars of the milk chocolate version. So while it's been around, those beans have been... Yeah, we've loved having them, and they've been a really cool story, but also delicious chocolate.
Yeah. Lovely. We're going to take a very short break, just while the wind calms down a bit, because your final words there were almost lost. I'll edit this out, but when it's like a noise, it's fine, if it's like a light background noise, but if it gets really strong, it kind of throbs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It makes like
game.
It makes like a whoom, whoom, which is a little harder to edit out and a little more distracting.
Yeah.
There we go. I think we're all good. So yeah, really interesting to learn about that. That coffee is an example of how you do things, and how you work. Why is helping people and planet with your chocolate so important? I know, you know, there's so many companies out there who put profit over people and cut corners, and why do you want to be the best there is?
Well, I think that that as a business, that's like the only way that you should be running a business, to be honest. Like, there's that fundamentally, you can't just forget the interconnectedness of the world and plants and sustainability. And that, you know, what you're taking out from the ground, you kind of have to put back in some way. So that fundamentally should drive every business. But really, I think that ethos is inspired by Mike. So Mike started the company back in 2012. He was a chef, and he fell in love with chocolate making and decided just wanted to do that. I think the story is he flipped a coin, and he was either going to try and be a chocolate maker or go into being a full-time baker.
Okay.
And luckily it landed on heads or tails. Yeah, luckily for us. Yeah.
You make and eat the chocolate.
Exactly, yeah. So he went into becoming a chocolate maker, and he's always strived to source the best ingredients. And, I mean, even the, like, you know, our kind of tagline as a business is chocolate without compromise.
Mm.
So, you know, if that's from the sourcing to the packaging to, you know, the marketing, it's all about no BS, putting ourselves out there, really, you know, being transparent about what we do as a business. And that, yeah, that all comes from Mike's original ethos for starting the company, which is trying to make the best chocolate possible.
Amazing. We both live in a small town.
Yeah.
You live in a much, much, much smaller place. A village is.
Yeah, very small.
So we both live in small towns in Cornwall. And we. Oh.
It's real picked up there.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we weren't seeing under the trees.
Yes, this is true. This would have been a little more. Okay. We'll try see if use my book. It's like a windshield. Sort of. I think that kind of works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're back. Obviously I'll edit the wind noise bits out, so
there you go. Content for social media. Lengths that George goes to make his podcast.
This is true. At least it's a conservation oriented book and not like a, you know, airport thriller or something. We're back. I'll edit the bits out, and I'll just announce kind of where we left off when the wind picks up too much. I'm now using a book, an excellent book, by the way, that I hopefully will finish this year. It's taken me a while to get through. But we both live in very small places in Cornwall, so we know how important local businesses are to the area.
Mm.
That's why I wanted to feature Chocolada and not kind of some other ethical chocolate company in another part of the world.
Yeah.
Also, your chocolate's delicious, which is very important to me. Just try and sample the things that I feature. I feel like I can get a more accurate take on it. So have you seen a positive impact of your work in the Falmouth area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even from business schemes like hiring, there's a scheme that Mike got involved in, hiring young people kind of straight out of college, or people who had never had a job before who are under 21, and giving them experience in the factory. I think there were three or four young people that participated in that, and then one of them has stayed on. So we now, like, Harry is now a full-time employee, so that's really benefited, you know, a local young person. But then, you know, when it comes to, you know, local businesses, we love to support local chefs, you know, all the kind of small shops that sell our chocolate. They're kind of our biggest fans, but also we love them as well. So it's a really nice kind of benefit to the community, I think, that we can supply something that is ethical, sustainable, delicious and fun, and have it be part of a community and not, you know, just something that gets shipped off somewhere else.
I think we have a visitor. The pros and cons of recording in a public woodland is that you will get dogs coming up and visit.
I'd say this is a pro. Do you want to be on our podcast?
Hello.
Very soft dog. I think it's a Cornish dog. You've got a Cornish... Oh, some Cornish shot in there.
Yeah, so it's great that you've seen a massive positive impact on local businesses.
Mm.
Where, how far do you expand? Obviously, local is important, but how far do you ship? How far do you stock?
I mean, yeah, we can send bars all over the world. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense to send too much of it to, like, you know, America or whatever, but we do have some really good customers in America and Australia, and places where they take craft and food culture quite seriously. Mainland Europe as well. We're actually doing a festival in Portugal, chocolate festival, in a couple of months, which will be really fun, kind of celebrating lots of small bean to bar makers. So yeah, I think, you know, anywhere where they want our chocolate, anywhere they want good chocolate, it's nice to kind of see this thing that you make kind of reach those places, which is very cool. Take on some of the big boys in chocolate, but it's, I would say it's growing, and hopefully it will grow over time, but stay centered in Cornwall.
I think we're pretty much there. We've covered all the topics. The important last question is, despite this being a hot chocolate episode and a chocolate episode, because you do have a drinking chocolate, which is why why I'm interviewing you, is you have an excellent drinking chocolate, but we don't need to talk about that, because that's kind of the same ethos and sourcing and everything as your normal chocolate, really. So your chocolate bars, your solids,
it's always the same chocolate we use in our drinking chocolate as we would in our bars.
Absolutely. So how do you take your coffee?
Well, as we are doing this early in the morning, I'm drinking a coffee, so I need to wake up. and I usually take it just black. I'm not a big dairy person, and I really like, as I've been learning more about coffee, I really like exploring the different tastes, from whether it's the origin or the kind of bean that's been used, or the different levels of roast, the way it's been made, so, you know, espresso versus filter, that kind of thing. And I always think that just trying it black is the best way to get that. But as we're doing a longer interview, I got a long black rather than a short espresso for this one.
I was taught that to get the full profile of a new coffee, filter is always the best way to go.
Yeah.
Filter coffee.
Yeah. I've got a friend who recommended to me recently a Clever Dripper, which I might try, because it's... and it's an infusion brewer, so it's very simple, like a cafetière.
Yeah.
And is it infusion or immersion? I can never remember which is the right. I'm not a coffee nerd yet.
I'm not that level of coffee nerd.
But that's a good sort of in between kind of cafetière and filter brew.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Might have to have a look into that. And as we are talking about hot chocolate, if you were having a hot chocolate, if you're having some of the chocolada, drinking chocolate at home, how would you make it? How would you take it?
I do it quite simply. I mean, I usually do 20 grams for every 250 mils. So you could say 20 grams of drinking chocolate per cup.
Yeah.
And I'll just put it in, I'll heat up a little bit of milk, make sure it doesn't boil. And it will usually be an oat or an almond milk, so dairy free. And then I'll add in my my hot chocolate powder, and you can either make a kind of slurry, so you weigh out your hot chocolate, pour in some boiling water and kind of make sure that it's all mixed in, to make a kind of paste rather than pouring the powder in because it might get clumpy. Add that slurry into the hot milk and then stir it for a bit, and yeah, and do it until it's to your liking, your taste. Add a bit more powder if you want it stronger. Very, very simple. I don't make it too complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for taking up your, for giving up your time.
It's all right.
Even though this, you know, technically is part of your job description, which is quite fun.
Yeah.
Stating the words, having a chat to a random dude.
It's hard work, George.
I know. Yeah. We're really, really on the grind there, the 9 to 5. But yeah, thank you so much, especially for doing, taking time out to do the re-record as well. Really, really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I think not enough credit goes to you, George, for doing such a wonderful podcast and spreading the word about conservation and ethical production.
Thank you. I try my best. Thanks so much.
Thanks again to Will for taking the time to speak to me today. You can find links to Chocolada's social media below. As mentioned before, my featured coffee today is actually Chocolada's house blend drinking chocolate. As promised in the last episode, here's the elevator pitch, mostly taken from their website, and with a bit of personal experience thrown in. This is a blend of cocoa powder and grated chocolate. Packaged fully plastic free, their drinking chocolate is made from two single estates, Kuapa Kogoin in Ghana and Seram Island in Indonesia. The Kuapa Kogu beans are from a great cooperative that is working to change cocoa mite farming in Ghana, and the Seram Island estate beans are from a plantation that promotes gender empowerment and job opportunities for the tribal communities in the surrounding hills. This really is bean to bar or bean to cup chocolate with a really strong positive impact on both local communities and worldwide. Thank you all so much for listening. I've been your host, George Steedman Jones, and this is Coffee with Conservationists.